You're listening to Boat Radio Live, brought to you by BonnyLassCharters.com.
I'm joined now by Brad Robertson of Association Ondine. Brad's firm, Ondine Escape, creates adventure holidays in the Balearic Islands, and Brad also provides scuba training at his dive school in Bunyola and safety seminars for super yacht crews. But he is best known to me, anyway, as the man behind Association Ondine, which is a marine conservation organisation dedicated to protecting the waters of Mallorca and the Balearic Islands. Brad has seen firsthand the damage that's been done, and now spends what seems to be every spare moment working tirelessly to persuade politicians to put protections in place. And he does all sorts of stuff in schools and things like that. We'll talk about that later on. Brad, welcome to Boat Radio Live.
Thank you very much, Mike.
So before we go any further, can you explain to me, what is a marine protected area?
Okay, there's various aspects to marine protected areas, but to keep it as simple as possible, it's a part of the sea that's designated by certain borders and has certain restrictions on what you can and what you can't do in there. The idea being is to protect the fish life, the marine life, and to let the marine ecosystem grow and thrive. So it's not just a matter of protecting individual species, it's a matter of protecting complete ecosystems, which then, once they get to a certain stage, there'll be spillover, which is where those fish populate the areas outside of the boundaries, and this is where local fisheries benefit from marine protected areas, is to fish around the outsides. So there's all these financial benefits from marine protected areas, as well as the environmental benefits.
And do they tend to be coastal waters?
There's around the world, Mike, there's various marine protected areas, some of them in open ocean, and some of them on coastal locations as well.
Okay, so how many are there in the Balearic Islands?
There are 8 locally controlled marine protected areas. Sar Dragonetta is the latest one, which was established last year. We've also got Cabrera, which is a marine national park, which is controlled by the government in Madrid.
Right, okay. So the marine protected areas, or MPAs we'll call them from now on, how much area do they cover around the Balearics?
The toughest thing about getting an exact percentage on the Balearics is there's actually no fixed definition on the boundaries of the Balearic Sea itself. There are various interpretations, but you're probably looking at around about 5% at the moment.
Yeah, 5%, right. So it's enough to say basically that these MPAs around the Balearic Islands, they are insufficient. They are insufficient to protect the coastal waters and the marine life, right?
The percentage-wise, yes. But when you look at what has been protected, and if we use El Toro Marine Reserve as the example, it's one of the healthiest locations in the entire Mediterranean. It's got the largest amount of biomass, fish biomass. It's been protected for around about 10 years, and it's a really, really prime example of what can happen if the right areas are protected.
Right, and that is on the western side of the island towards the south. Actually, it's not that far from Magaluf, right?
No, it's not that far from Magaluf. I don't normally combine Magaluf and conservation, but anyway,
I like to give Magaluf as a reference as much as possible, and that's how I measure any distance. In fact, from now on. So, what are the environmental threats? I mean, there's different types of unsustainable fishing for a start, but what else are we talking about?
There's a whole array of issues when it comes to the marine environment. Overfishing, simply put, taking too many fish out of the sea, has been rampant in the Mediterranean for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. So that's one major issue. The types of fisheries as well that go on. The worst type of fisheries that happens all over the world. are the bottom trawlers, and they drag big, heavy metal plates right over the bottom of the sea, and take everything that's there, and then leave barren wastelands behind them.
They have these nets which have a very, very heavy metal weight in the bottom, which kind of keeps the net open and dragging along the bottom. So they're pulling in young fish, and they're destroying the areas where fish feed and where they breed and that sort of thing. That's
correct.
The problem, right?
Correct.
Okay, and if you could just get the message across to stay out of these areas, in actual fact, there'd be more fish for everyone.
When Association Ondine's next step with our MPA plans is to establish a network of MPAs all around the Balearic Islands. We're looking at somewhere around about 20% of the waters to be protected, and the idea is that we'll protect patches of the sea, and in between those areas we'll find the benefits from spillover, and hopefully within 5 years or so you'll see them actually all interconnected, and some thriving fish populations around the Balearics.
5 years, that's very ambitious, don't you think? I'm just thinking about the speed at which politicians move.
No, 5 years from establishment. 5 to 10 years from establishment. So that's not a prediction on when this is going to happen. It needs to be protected, and it needs to be left for 5 to 10 years.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Those fish stocks to rejuvenate.
Right. Okay. So tell me about smoothhound sharks, because there are... I might have got this completely wrong, but is there a type of smoothhound shark that's almost specific to the Balearic Islands?
It's a shame I don't have Gabrielle Moray here, who's our vice president and a marine biologist. He's an expert in elasmobranchs, which are sharks and rays.
Yeah.
So he's a bit of a guru for me. So to answer that question, Mike, I'd have to wait to maybe phone a friend.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
A lifeline.
Yeah, lifeline. I'll use one of my lifelines, please, Mike.
If Beale Moray is out listening, could he just hop in the car or on his scooter and get himself down to the port of Sawyer?
So you're
looking to try... ultimately, what you need is a network of these MPAs which completely... they join up all the way around the islands, right?
Exactly. And traditionally, people, when they think of conservationists, they think of extremists, people chaining themselves to trees and doing all these crazy things. A really important aspect of Association Ondine is the outlook that we have of combining business with a healthy sea. There's no point going to one extreme and saying this all has to be protected and nobody can do anything in it, because we all need to make money. This is the reality of life. It's a very important aspect for us to bring in those benefits, and for people to understand that by protecting these areas, we're actually securing financial benefit for us in the mid and the long term, which is a really hard thing for people to understand when they've got to put bread and butter on the table now.
Yeah. What about the political will in the Balearic Islands? Is it lacking, or...?
The political will is here. It's quite positive at a certain level, but I think with politics and environment all over the world, it's definitely getting attention. But it needs more attention from the local government.
Yeah, and why is it? Because it's an uphill struggle. I mean, I know you work round the clock, like tirelessly on this stuff, and it's... I just wondered, why is it so tough to raise awareness of issues like this? I mean, is it because there isn't a cute little cuddly animal that you can take photographs of, I don't know. I'm not. It's how you sell these things to people, isn't it? I mean, why is it difficult?
Well, I mean, if I look around from the deck of the Bonnie Lass, and I can see a beautiful blue bay, beautiful mountains, and some old terraces, and some very spectacular sights here, but that's where my view stops. I can't see under the water. I'm lucky enough to be in the water. Quite a lot of the time, so I'm seeing it firsthand. The biggest issue is, how do you connect people with a subject that they do not see directly themselves? So this is why we go into the schools and we do the schools program with Dos Manos. It's a 3-day program where we teach the kids about plastic pollution. We take them down the beach so they can see it for themselves. And then the final day, they need to look for positive solutions to these negative issues. And it's really inspiring to see these kids, the reality on their faces, when they the realization when they see these problems. And this is what we need to do. To do that with MPAs is a bit more difficult. Multimedia will definitely be part of Association Ondine over the next few years, and bringing high quality videos, maybe even 360 videos to people, so they can engage in it and understand.
Yeah, yeah. And you and I are actually working on a project at the moment, and I can reveal a little. We're actually going to be broadcasting live from the bottom of the sea, which is going to be very exciting at some point in the not too distant future. We're just getting the equipment sorted out right now. The crazy thing is, right, a network of MPAs would actually, there'd be more fish, so the fishermen would be richer.
Correct.
There'd be more, the islands would be more beautiful, so there'd be more tourism, so everybody who's worked in the tourism industry would be richer.
Correct.
It's you know, if you just get that, you're just going to make more money if you make this network of MPAs. That's one way to get people's attention, right?
It's really a no-brainer. It's something that must happen, and it's I think one of the things now with marine conservation is connecting it with making money. You know, so the people that don't necessarily have that soft spot for the environment, but do like to make a little bit of money along the way, can also see the benefit in it. Mm. Very, very, very important.
So, I mean, like I say, you work really hard doing this, but what's the next step? I mean, where do we go from here in terms of getting this network of MPAs?
Well, we've got quite a busy July coming up. We've got Dr. Sylvia Earle, who's a National Geographic explorer in residence and the head of Mission Blue.
Yeah.
They're coming out for an expedition to Dragonetta, where we're going to go and do some studies on the outside edge, which is not actually part of the MPA at this stage. Mm. Having people like Dr. Sylvia Earle bringing attention to our objectives is definitely going to help us proceed.
Yeah, sure. And then, I mean, moving beyond the MPAs and protecting the wildlife with these sort of policing these areas, even if you manage to persuade every person who lives in the Balearic Islands to respect and defend their own coastal waters and therefore make more money out of it, we've still got the problem of waterborne pollution, right? So we've still got plastics from wherever washing up on this island. I mean, it's not horrendous, but
depends where you go.
Yeah, it depends where you, yeah, that's true. It does depend where you go on the island. But I mean, does it not sometimes feel to you like, do you not just despair sometimes? I mean, you don't. I know you work really hard and you're always really positive and it's brilliant, but do you ever have moments where you just think, oh,
Mike, I've always got my Kleenex in my pocket, mate. It's demoralizing work, you know. The good thing about it is that the highs, the positives are extremely positive and the lows are extremely low. So there's no in between with this. I've had 20 years of diving experience and seeing what healthy environments are like. Seeing what negative and destroyed environments are like as well. I've now got two young kids, and to think that I had the opportunity to contribute. And Association Ondine is not the answer to everything when it comes to marine conservation. Where I'd like to think we're an important piece of the puzzle, but for me to even contemplate stopping is impossible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming in. Where can people find out more about this?
You can find out more. Actually, this weekend, the Posidonia Festival is on in Palma, and then the following weekend up in Deia, and we've got a little stand up there. You can go to the website, which is associationondine.org, or our Facebook page, which is the same name.
Okay, Brad Robertson. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. That was fascinating. Thank you.
Estás escuchando a Boat Radio.
My name is Matt Rutherford. I am the only person in history to have circumnavigated the Americas nonstop. I've sailed alone across the Atlantic twice, I've crossed the Pacific, I've sailed through the Bering Sea and around Cape Horn. I understand the challenges you will face trying to accomplish your blue water dreams, and I know how important it is to have the right boat. Whether buying a blue water boat or selling your blue water boat, Rogue Wave Yacht Sales has the experience to make that happen. Email me at matt@roguewaveyachtsales.com.
Bonnie Last Charters is Mallorca's number one experience.
Bonnie Last is a 57-foot converted fishing boat. She was built in 1949 as a herring ring netter in Scotland, and now she's set up for the Mediterranean. Apart from just relaxing in the sunshine on the deck, there's paddleboarding and any kind of exploring you can imagine up along the north coast of Mallorca here, quite often with Maggie the dog in tow as well. Bonnie Last Charters is unique because no charter is really the same. We work really hard to make it the perfect day for each individual client. To be able to go out and enjoy the day with the guests on board is just fantastic.
For more information and to make a booking, visit bonnielastcharters.com.